We've been talking about how Jesus calls us, and you know, I guess one of the most important things, at least to me, is that Jesus calls us even when we find ourselves in the bottom of a hole that we dug all by ourselves. We can create the awfulest mess, and still Jesus wants us to be his. And the story that illustrates that is in Luke, the 15th chapter. It's a parable that Jesus tells about a man who had two sons. And we'll not read the entirety of this morning, but it's a story that we're familiar with. And if you're not, look at Luke, the 15th chapter, start about verse 11, and you read about the two boys. Well, the younger boy decided that he wanted everything that was coming to him, and he wanted it right now. And his father gave it to him, and he took all of his money that his father had accumulated and given to him. He went into a far country, and he spent his money in wild living. He made a hole. He dug it for himself. And then he came to his senses. He'd lost everything. There's a great famine. He found himself in a field feeding pigs and was so desperate that he was ready to eat what the pigs were eating. He came to his senses and he said, "How many of my father's servants have more to eat than I do? Here I am with nothing." So he came to his senses. He said, "You know, I need to get out of this. I need to go home." When he went back home, his father welcomed him with open arms. His father didn't say, "No, you wasted everything. You made a mess out of your life. And it was all your own doing. Go just take what you've done." His father welcomed him back. So I start thinking about that because I know that I have to return home frequently. I make a mess, and it's usually something that I've done to myself. And when I do that, I have to come back to God, because he still wants me to be his. He wants me to be one of his children. You know, sin just takes me away from God. And every time I get involved in sin, I move away from God. But I'm not alone in this. And you're not alone in this. So this morning, I want to look for a few minutes at Peter's example. Peter is a man who wanted to serve God, but he still struggled to avoid sin. Think about the betrayal night. Jesus has a conversation with him in Luke, the 22nd chapter, beginning at verse 31, reading down through verse 34. He said, "Peter, you're going to deny me three times tonight." And Peter says, "Never. I would never deny you." And I think Peter really meant what he said. "I will not deny you." Out in the garden, you remember when Jesus is betrayed? Peter was the one that whipped out his sword, cut off the ear of the servant of the high priest. He was ready to defend Jesus to the hilt. But when Jesus is arrested and he's taken into the courtyard of Caiaphas, Peter, of course, followed. But then when somebody says, "Hey, you knew him," Peter said, "No, I didn't." Somebody said, "Yes, you did. I know you. Your speech betrays you." He said, "No, I didn't." And then what did Peter eventually do? The third time somebody said, "You were with him," he began to curse and swear. He did everything he could to say, I don't know this man. Now, Jesus said, I've prayed for you. Satan wants to have you. But I pray that your faith would not fail. And, of course, it did. But Jesus knew that. And he was willing to take Peter back. He said he'd to turn again. And we've all been there. We know what that's like. Think about what Peter did when he was in Antioch. Young church, made up of Jews and Gentiles, beginning to be more of a Gentile group. And Peter came down there, and all of a sudden, when a bunch of folks from Jerusalem that were Jews, that Peter knew probably, came to the church in Antioch, Peter wouldn't eat with the Gentiles anymore. He didn't want to have anything to do with them. He was so concerned about peer pressure that he even encouraged some people that were there in Antioch to follow him in his hypocrisy. Now, don't let this make you think that Peter was a man who really didn't care about God. That's not the case. You remember what happened when Peter was ready to preach to the first Gentile convert, Cornelius? He was up on the rooftop, and he saw this vision. And a sheet is let down from heaven, had all kinds of clean and unclean animals in it. And the voice said to Peter, rise, Peter, kill and eat. He said, no. Happened the second time. Peter's response was the same. No. I don't eat unclean animals. Happens a third time. Peter said, no, I'm not going to eat unclean animals. And the voice from heaven said, what God called clean, don't you call unclean. So, even though he wanted to follow God's path, and when he went to Cornelius' house, he said, I know that God is not a respecter of persons in Acts the 10th chapter. He came back to Jerusalem and he repeated it, this time in front of the Jews. Peter's a man that you think of as standing strong in his conviction that there was no difference between Jews and Gentiles. And then he lost it. Wouldn't eat with the Gentiles. Galatians, the second chapter. And Paul says, I had to withstand him to the face because of what he was doing. So we're familiar with people who have that same difficulty, aren't we? Now, I think As I ponder this and I think about the sin that takes us away from God, one of the things that's really important is that once we realize where we are, that we're stepping away from God, we don't just keep on doing it. We don't persist in sin. Now, I think we all have a difficulty with sometimes getting off the path. But when we see we're off of the path, we come back. In 1 John, the third chapter, John describes this idea of persistent sin. And this is the way he says it. No one who lives in him, in Jesus, keeps on sinning. No one who continues to sin has either seen him or known him. Dear children, don't let anyone lead you astray. The one who does what is right is righteous, just as he is righteous. The one who does what is sinful is of the devil. because the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. No one who is born of God will continue to sin. Yes, we'll take steps and we'll get off the path, but we won't continue to do it. The reason is because God's seed remains in them. They cannot go on sinning. If you want to walk with Jesus, you can't just do the same things that you did before you knew Jesus. You can't go on doing that because God's seed abides in you. You've been born of God. This is how we know who are the children of God and who are the children of the devil. Anyone who does not do what is right is not God's child, nor is anyone who does not love their brother and their sister. You can't just stay in sin. So if that's where I find myself, if I've taken a step off the path that God wants me to follow, what do I do? There's an illustration for that as well. The illustration that tells me how I can return to him is Simon, who was a magician. And he'd been bewitching people. They thought he was some great shakes. And then he saw what was really God's power, how deaf were healed so that they could hear, how sick were healed, how the lame could walk. And this is not just a magic trick. And Simon understood the difference between this and a magic trick. And, you know, after he had become a Christian, he said, "I'll offer you money if you'll give me that power." Well, let's read the story. This is in Acts, the 8th chapter. There's a man named Simon, who had previously practiced magic in the city and amazed the people of Samaria, saying that he was somebody great. They all paid attention to him, from the least to the greatest, saying, "This man is the power of God that is called great." They paid attention to him for a long time because he had amazed them with his magic, the sleight of hand. When they believed Philip as he preached the good news about the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Even Simon himself believed. And after being baptized, he continued with Philip, and he saw the signs and great miracles that were performed, and he was amazed. Now remember, he's a magician. If this had just been sleight of hand, he would have been in a position to recognize it. The apostles at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God. They sent to them Peter and John, who came down and prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For he had not yet fallen on any of them, but they had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then they laid their hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit. Fantastic power came on these people. Simon saw that the Spirit was given through the laying on of the apostles' hands. He offered them money. He said, "Give me this power also, so that anyone on whom I lay my hands may receive the Holy Spirit." But Peter said to it, "May your silver perish with you, because you thought you could obtain the gift of God with money." How misguided. He said, "You have neither part nor lot in this matter. Your heart is not right before God." There's the real problem. Your heart is not right before God at this point. "Repent, therefore, of this your wickedness. Pray to the Lord that, if possible, the intent of your heart may be forgiven you. For I see that you are in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity." And Peter and then Simon answered, "Pray for me to the Lord, that nothing of what you've said may fall upon me. What did Simon need to do? He had become a Christian. He had been baptized. He was walking with Jesus, walking on the right path. And then his old practice crept in, and he tried to buy the gift of God with money. And Peter said, repent. Pray to God. He'll forgive you. And Simon said, pray for me. And that didn't relieve Simon of the responsibility to pray, but there were people there who would pray with him. And Simon recognized them. So, what's the conclusion? Well, I need to confess my sin. I need to be willing to stand up and say, yeah, I did that. Yeah, that's hard for us to do. It's hard for us to say, I got on the wrong path. And we need to confess our sins to the people that we've offended. The lost boy had to confess his manner of life to his father. He was determined that that's what he was going to do. And I just might add parenthetically here, I don't think he was telling his father anything his father didn't already know. His father knew that he'd made a mess out of his life. But he wanted to confess that to his father. And we can confess it to faithful people who will pray for us. This is what James says. James, the third chapter. Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is someone cheerful? Sing praise. If anyone among you is sick, let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. The prayer of faith will save the one who is sick. The Lord will raise him up. And if he's committed sins, he'll be forgiven. So he concludes it this way. Therefore, because of what I've already said, therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. For a righteous person has great power as it is working. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. He prayed fervently that it might not rain. For 3 years and 6 months, it did not rain on the earth. Then he prayed again, and heaven gave forth rain, and the earth bore its fruit. My brothers, if any among you wanders from the truth and someone brings him back, let him know that whoever brings back a sinner from his wandering will save his soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins. So, yeah, we need help. Just like Peter was willing to pray for Simon, we pray for other people who have gotten off the path. What's the message for us? Offenses are real. When we sin, we hurt people. When this lost boy spent all of his father's money in riotous living, he hurt his father a lot. And when we get off the path, we hurt God. And we hurt other people. Sometimes we hurt ourselves. But we need to understand offenses are real. It's not something that we can overlook. Something that we need to be aware of. Second thing that occurs to me is that I don't need to waste my time arguing about precisely when Peter and others were forgiven. Was it before they repented because God knew their heart and he was willing to forgive? Was it after they repented because they had been willing to confess this before God and then God was willing to forgive them? I'm not going to waste my time on that. There are a lot of people who get in a furor trying to define exactly when God is willing to accept us back. I think the most important thing I can realize is that when I get off the path, then I need to realize that and head back in the right direction. I need to repent. I need to pray, knowing that God is willing to forgive. It may be that you're here this morning, and you know what is the right way, and you really want to be in the right way. You want to be walking with God. Maybe you're like Peter. You lost hold on it. Come back to God. He'll forgive. Repent. Pray. You needn't be baptized again. When Peter was talking to Simon, he said, "You got off the path, Simon." He didn't tell him to go and be baptized again. He'd already done that. But he said, repent. Pray. We want you to think about it. And if there's something that we can do to help you, just like James said, confess your faults one to another, pray one for another so that you may be healed. Because the effectual prayer of a righteous man availeth much. You know, God is calling. He wants us back. And this is the way that we can do it. Ted's going to come up here and he's going to lead us in a song in just a minute. It's an opportunity for us to reflect on what we need to do to be continually walking with God. And if we're in a mess,